The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Jesus, we honor you. Oh, Naknahai, Stephe, Vranainde, Palata, for ye, I send my word as rain. I send my word as rain. I send my word to locate the seed. I send my word to locate the seed. I send my word as showers, as showers, as showers, as showers. Because where the seed is, the rain will come. Where the seed is, the rain will come. The promise of the rain is towards the seed. The promise of the rain is towards the seed. That which gains from the rain is the seed. For I have put my seed in you, and that is why I send my rain constantly, consistently, again and again. I send my rain to you. Again, I bring my rain to you. Again, I bring waters to you. I bring waters to you. I bring waters to you to change your estate, to cause a transformation, to cause a growth to take place. Yeah, I bring waters. I bring waters. I bring waters. Because the hearts have received the seed, the hearts will receive the showers. The hearts that have received the seed, even the same hearts will receive the showers. I bring the rain. I bring the rain. Because the seed has been given, I bring the rain. Many, many showers. Many, many showers. Many, many showers. Yea, for by the communication of grace, are you sealed unto life? By the communication of grace, are you sealed unto eternal life? By the communication of grace, yeah, I bring grace again. I bring grace again that the seed and that which has been planted may grow, may grow, may grow, may grow, may grow, may grow. And you will grow, and you will grow, and you will grow. Because when the rains come, growth is accomplished. Whenever the rains come, growth is accomplished. Yea, the rains are falling upon the seed, and you will grow. The rains have come upon the seed, and you will grow. I bring grace. I bring grace. I bring grace to move you from where you are, to add to you. For grace is addition. Grace adds. Grace brings addition. Grace necessitates growth. I bring grace. I bring grace. I bring grace that you may grow and you will grow, saith the Spirit.
I want us to relate with that word in our hearts that we will grow in the name of Jesus. Can we just relate with that prophecy in prayers that the Lord will send forth His rain. He will send forth His rain. He will send forth rain. Lord, you will send forth rain to cause us to grow, to strengthen our hearts, to have the faith that we are growing as you are sending forth rain and as you will yet send forth more rain, that Lord, we will grow thereby. We will grow thereby. We will grow thereby in the name of Jesus. According to the tenor of the words you are sending, we will grow thereby. Thank you, precious Savior. We give you glory. Blessed be your name, for we live by your word. We live by your word and we prosper. Our leaves are green. We prosper by that word. Thank you, precious Savior. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. It's a beautiful time to be in God's presence again this evening. And we appreciate God for always confirming His word, for always sending His word to us. Like the prophecy said, that I'm sending rain to you so that you can grow thereby. So the essence of the rain coming to us is so that we can grow. Hallelujah. So when rain falls in various dimensions, one thing is key in God's heart. It is so that we can grow. And when we grow, we produce fruit that is expected of God based on the rain He has sent. Amen. So when God sends rain, He has a focus in mind. The focus is that this rain will come into the earth. Men will receive the rain. Men will grow thereby. And then they will produce fruit unto eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we here this evening? Are we here this evening? Amen. It's a privilege to stand to teach this Wednesday. It's an awesome platform. For the last 9 months, thereabouts, the Lord has been using His servant to teach consistently upon this platform. And it's not all that easy to just come and say something, you know, along that line. It has become an elevated platform where He speaks into the nations. Amen. So it's always a great responsibility to, you know, look into God's word again and to speak. Amen. I want to appreciate Mama in the house. Can we appreciate Mama this evening? Good evening, Ma. Thank you for being here this evening. Let's appreciate our pastors in the house. Pastor Alfred, Pastor Dixon, Pastor Mayowa, and our pastors in some other places, Pastor Adisa, Pastor Lydia, Pastor Mark. Let's put hands together for them. Appreciate the grace of God in their lives. Let's appreciate our daddy and mommy, Reverend Busio Lavodi. Hallelujah. You know that they are around. He's in town, he's around. Reverend Busio is around. He's in town. Hallelujah. Mommy is around. Mommy is in town. Amen. And I know that the Lord will move us further, even by their coming to us. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people have seen that? Have you seen that? If you have seen daddy and mommy since the return? What are you doing? Hallelujah. They will be with us by the grace of God over the weekend. Amen. Last Sunday, Pastor Alfred said something that, you know, when we look into the Bible sometimes, we don't get to see what it meant when God was penning down those words. But by the help of the Spirit, He brings them alive again to us. So when Jesus says, "You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you." So we have not really seen it in the proper way it is. When He says, "You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you." So, the basis of friendship, as Jesus taught, is commandment. And like the person who took us in the friendship tips made some analogy to us, we also saw clearly that friendship in the scripture is not the way the world practices it. So the basis of friendship is what? Commandments. Commandments of God is the basis by which we can be made friends of God. That is what we call love at God level. That is human love. You don't really need to know the person. You don't need to have any special leading or whatever before you render a form of help or assistance or come to the aid of. For instance, it happens all the time. Somebody is walking and missed his step and maybe falls down. What do? You don't know the person. You rush instinctively. In fact, you have carried the person before you even got conscious that it's a female. For instance, God forbid, if a vehicle knocks down someone who is a female, you understand what I'm saying? And all the clothes flew apart. And you are there, and you say, no. Like that priest, I can't touch a sister. We should not touch a sister. Will you be thinking all of that? You don't even know what pushes you at that material time. Before you know what is happening, you are already there. You have carried the person. You are doing all you can do. Or a child falls down, just walking ahead of you. Then you rush to the scene. Now, that is love at gut level. It's basic. It's not a thing that you need special revelation for. Is that okay? And it is in everyone. Everyone. He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children. That means even evil people still know how to give things. The Bible says the tender mercy of the wicked. Can you imagine? Is it possible for the wicked to be merciful? He said the tender mercy of the wicked is cruelty. So anybody can display that. Anybody can show that. That's in the book of Proverbs. He said the righteous man regarded the life of his beast. And Paul will be reasoning that when God says, when you see an animal falls into the pit, raise it up. Is God saying that because he cares so much about the animal, or he says it for your sake? So God's love is not towards that animal, but it's just for your sake. So there are things we do without revelation. But when it comes into being friends with God or being friends of God, commandment has to be involved. Because that is what God sees as the basis of friendship. So you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. So commandment is what God gives his people. Commandment is what God gives us to obey and to follow. And what leads to life is commandment. What breeds or brings about inheritance of eternal life is following and obeying commandments. So a man cannot inherit life if that man had not been known to be a follower of commandments. So our relationship with God, or our fellowship with God, should also show in our fellowship with one another. So we fellowship with God on the basis of commandment. Remember that message? Followership, friendship, and fellowship. You remember that? So, in the same vein, we transfer that fellowship unto one another. So John will say, these things we write unto you that you may have fellowship with us. Now, that us is not you. They are writing to you so that you can have fellowship with them, the apostles. He said, and truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So, when you have fellowship with the Father, you have fellowship with his Son, we are talking of eternal life. It's already involved. Because eternal life is actually interactions of the Father and the Son. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, his Son. So, knowing God is not just, I know him, I know his name. He is this, he is that. No, it's a fellowship. It's a union. And that cannot be achieved without commandment. Amen. So when we talk about eternal life, the knowledge of God, it's for one purpose. It's for that life to culture a life in us. Now, don't forget, eternal life in itself is the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus. We have to be taught God's knowledge. But you cannot know the knowledge of God or the doctrine of God, or you cannot come into the gospel of God without first coming into the doctrine or the teaching or the gospel of Christ. Amen. Because one leads to the other. I am the way. Way to who? Is a way to the Father. He is the truth. He is the life. That life is the life of the Father. So, you can't just say, I want to learn God without first learning Christ. Amen. So, eternal life begins with the learning of Christ. Now, you might be in church and may not be learning Christ. You have not started learning life. You begin to learn eternal life that will bring you into God's friendship or God's estate or God's fellowship or God's life when you begin to hear Christ in the church. Hallelujah.
To whom,
is that in Ephesians, I think 1:20?
To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. All glory must go to God in the church. So to him be glory, not outside the church. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end. That's Ephesians 1:20. So it has to be within the church that we have to learn Christ. So that a man is not, maybe a man is in church, but is not learning Christ, does not mean he is in church. Hallelujah. He said, in the midst of the brethren, will I sing your praise. I will declare your name among my brethren. So it is when we come together as brethren that the name of God can be declared. Psalm 133 says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil upon the head of Aaron flowing down to the beard, to the garments. For there, and like the dew from the mountain Hermon, for there the Lord commanded blessing, commanded the blessing, even what? Even life forevermore. So where is life commanded? It is in the midst of the brethren that life is commanded. So blessing, this blessing is commanded. It's not a blessing you claim. Now, when you say commanded, who does the commanding? The Lord. For there, the Lord commanded the blessing. Now, before the blessing is commanded, a lot of things have happened from verse 1. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So, that church is a church that has come into the unity of the faith. They have understood the bond of perfectness to a level. Is that okay? How good and pleasant it is for them to dwell together in unity. It is like, so it's a church that understands priesthood. Is that okay? And then when God sees that, he begins to command the blessing. Even eternal life. In other words, he begins to give commandments. And that's why I said, you cannot inherit life without commandments. Which commandments? Commandments of eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, eternal life is tangible. It is a substance of God. It's not something you can't relate with. It is real. Eternal life is real. And you can't interact eternal life or interact with eternal life or come in contact with eternal life and it will not be seen on you. In other words, eternal life is meant to culture a life. In the biology laboratory, we have what we call culture. Bacteria that are put in petri dishes and then they apply some solutions. You know, you say you are culturing a bacteria. In the same way, eternal life, which is God's commandment, which is the commandment of the Son and of God, is meant to develop a life in us. Amen. In the book of Genesis 1, verse 11, let's see that scripture. It said, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. Pastor Dixon was talking about seed of eternal life, that it doesn't die easily, except you kill it consciously. He said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after what? After his kind. Whose seed is where? Is in itself. So there is a seed that is in the fruit. The fruit of that tree has a seed. And that seed is actually a tree. Now, if I ask you, which is bigger? I used to tell my students, when I ask you a question, or like we used to be told, that when God asks you a question, don't quickly answer.
So I want to take that posture this evening and not quickly answer this question and think and then answer. Between the tree and the seed, which is the biggest? Or which is bigger? The tree or the seed? Which? Is it the tree or the seed? The seed. Why did you say that? There's something inside that small seed. Actually, when you hold the seed of an orange, what are you holding? No, you're wrong. You're holding an orchard. An orchard is a limitless view of trees of fruit. So when you hold a seed, actually what you are holding are millions of trees. So that seed is sown, it produces tree. The tree produces fruit. Inside the fruit, there are seeds. The fruit is taken, the seeds are planted, and then it continues like that in a cycle. That is how eternal life is. Eternal life is the seed of God. So he said in verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kinds, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. So eternal life is a kind of life. Remember, God is a spirit. And we said God is a kind of spirit, not just any spirit. So eternal life also is a particular kind of life. That when you come into that life, the effect of that life has to be seen upon you. Hallelujah. Remember, Pastor Dimeji was teaching us about the tree of life in Revelation. He said the leaves will be for the healing of the nation. What did he call the fruit? Do you remember? He said it's a law. It's a law. He said because what they ate in the garden, they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that battered the law of sin and death. So it means the tree of life, also the fruit of that tree, is the law of the spirit of life. So actually, we are a reflection of what we have eaten. We are a reflection of the law we are receiving, because just like you can't plant an orange and expect it to show something different, in the same way, what we receive as commandment is what we manifest, is what we show. So, but eternal life as a kind of life is meant to culture the life of God. Amen. How does it do that? It does it by law or by commandment. Can you say commandment? Amen. We are going somewhere this evening. I want us to read the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. Then we'll read chapter 6 also. Look at that. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some, that they do what? They teach no other doctrine. It means there is a possibility to teach what? Other. So the problem is not even the life. It is after whose life? After whose life? He said, whose image is in this coin? He said, Caesar's. He said, okay, this image is not my image. You can't give me Caesar's image. Caesar's image is embosomed. So give to Caesar the image of Caesar. Give to God the image of God. Hallelujah. So Paul said that you should charge them that they teach no other doctrine. It means that there are places at that time where other doctrines are being taught. Amen. We're going strong. We are. Let's see chapter 6, verse 3. Let's just follow on. Chapter 6, verse 3 of the same book. If any man teach otherwise. You know, I read a book many years ago by Charles Swindoll. He wrote a book, and then one of the titles, one of the chapter titles is The Wise, The Unwise, and The Otherwise.
So if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words. Now, wholesome words are called what? Even, it's just amplifying what he meant by wholesome word. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to what? The doctrine which is according to godliness. When you read your Bible, they will say, the gospel according to Matthew. The gospel according to Mark. According to. Now, but Paul is saying here that that wholesome word is actually the very words of our Lord Jesus, which is also the doctrine. Now, this doctrine is not just any other doctrine. It's a doctrine that is patterned after what? Godliness. Meaning there are other doctrines. Doctrine means teaching. Teaching. That's what the meaning of doctrine is. So, there are other teachings. So, it says, if any man teach otherwise, they are actually teaching. And they are teaching doctrine. Jesus said, you teach for doctrine, the tradition of men. Traditions of men are not meant to be doctrines. But the Pharisees, they took them and they taught them to the people as doctrine. So, but he's saying that there is a particular doctrine that is patterned after godliness. Amen. Are we here this evening? Show me Titus 2:1. And then let's just go progressively. Titus 2:1. But speak thou the things which become a what? Sound doctrine. So sound doctrine is the doctrine that is after godliness. Now, I was saying that eternal life is received by commandments. So when you hear, in this church, for instance, we have used that word a lot. If they should do analytics of the preachings in the last 3 months, I'm sure the word commandment will rank higher than any other word. It has been said repeatedly. And the danger of that is this. When something is said repeatedly, you might fall into the mistake of assuming that you know what it is. That you understand what it is. If I pass the mic around now and I say, what is commandment? We are going to have a series of answers. Amen. But we must not gloss over that word. What is it that is commandment? Let's read the book of John chapter 14. Please follow me. John 14. Let's go to verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me and shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Take note. He that does what? Are you following? He who does what? He who has my commandments. Go to the next verse. Jesus said unto him, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest yourself unto us and not to the world? Go on. Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will do what? He will keep my word. Go back to verse 21. He that has commandment and keepeth them. He who has my commandment. So in verse 23, what is this commandment? His words. And my Father will love him and will come to him and make our abode with him. Verse 24. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my what? Sayings. So you see the three words he has used there. Commandments, words, sayings. Now let's go to the same John chapter 12. Let's see that. Verse 49. The last two verses. Verse 49. Look at what Jesus said. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, what has he done? He gave me a commandment. Is that the end? Let's read further. What I should say, sayings, and what I should speak. Sayings, speakings. Pastor Thompson has taught about this, maybe in anamnesis or thereabouts, making the distinction between these two. Now, when you hear commandments, it's what generate doctrine. Hallelujah. Now, commandment is broader. If you are in the academics or you have done project before, and you are writing your theoretical framework, then they will ask you, what theory are you using? Or what approach are you using? For those of us in the art, they will talk about various approaches. And then each approach, for instance, has a particular theory that you can use for your work. For instance, in literature, if you are writing or using the sociological approach, society, that which has to do with the society, there are some theories that you can use to support what you are saying. Because the angle at which you are looking at it is from the angle of the society. So there will be some theories that we apply to the society. Is that okay? For instance, Marxism. It has to do with the society. It touches directly upon the society. So when you look at commandment, it's big, it's broad. Hallelujah. Can we see another scripture to justify that? That this scripture that he told us that we should learn very well. What's that scripture? Romans 16:25. Can we see it quickly and see commandment so that you understand? It's important to understand. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, verse 26, but it's now made manifest by the scriptures of prophets according to what? The commandment of the everlasting God. That is a very big thing. You see, that commandment of the everlasting God has inside it the scriptures of the prophet. Go back to the previous verse. It has inside it the secrets which have been kept since the world began. It has inside it the revelation of that mystery. It has inside it, stay on verse 25. It has inside it the preaching of Jesus Christ. It has inside it the gospel. It has inside it the power for establishment. Amen. All of these are embedded in what is called the commandment of the everlasting God. So when you hear the word commandment, it's not just one line of commandment like 10 commandments. You can't count this one. It's called the commandment of the everlasting God. That commandment of the everlasting God houses the doctrine of God. Hallelujah. So, back to John 12:49-50. Jesus said, the Father who called me has taught me, has given me what to say and what to speak. Verse 50 now says, and I know that he is what? So that means what the Father has given me is actually commandment that bifurcates into two. Speakings and saying. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. Hallelujah. So he now said, whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Meaning, I will say a lot of things. But many things I will say are emanating from the commandment, which in itself is a saying. But this saying has many speakings. So the speakings of the saying is the doctrine. Why the saying is the commandment? It's a house. Commandment is a house. Inside that house, there are many things you need to learn. And all of that is called, if you like, put S. If you like, don't put S. Doctrine of Christ. Because if any man come and does not come after the manner of this doctrine. What is that doctrine? It's not one doctrine. It's actually the doctrine of Christ. The teachings of Christ. The speakings of Christ. And Christ will say many things. He will speak many things. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we here this evening? Do you understand commandment? Do you understand doctrine? So, commandment distills into doctrine. Amen. I remember when I was in secondary school in chemistry laboratory, we had an experiment, live experiment. My school was a science center for the state. So there are lots of science equipment that were brought in. So we did those. In fact, when I was writing physics practical, we did those meter rule, tight, you know, setting all of that. Not that we were reading it in book. They have all those materials. So we have what we call the, what do you call these things that you used to separate?
Ah.
It's a tube, a big tube. Then you pour, it has a beaker. Then another pipe leaves that beaker into another compartment where there is water, housing that compartment, but there's a pipe that passes through the water. And then is it not Bunsen burner now? Eh? It's condenser. It's a distillation process. So our teacher brought water and alcohol to the class. Now, when I say alcohol, I'm not talking about beer. I'm talking of ethanol. Is that okay? How many people are in chemistry here? I've left all of these things many, many years ago. Ethanol. You know ethanol. Which one is heavier, water or ethanol? Ah, they don't know. It's water. Water is heavier than ethanol. That is why when you put spirit on your hand, it disappears. It vaporizes because it's very light. So, but they mix spirit with water. And the teacher wanted to teach us distillation. So, he poured the water and the ethanol together. They are both colorless. You will not even know which they were mixed together. And then he put a Bunsen burner, and then they were heating it. Now, the boiling point of ethanol, because it's lighter, is not like that of water. Water will boil at which degree? 100 degrees centigrade. I believe something heavier than water, like diesel, may not burn at that degree. You may need to apply more heat before diesel will be boiling like water is boiling. You know? So, before, maybe by the time it goes to 70 degrees, all the ethanol was no longer inside the water. I was asked, what magic will this man perform today? And then the ethanol had vaporized and passed through the what? Fract. Oh, you remember. That's it. What do you call it? Fractionating column. It has passed through the plate, then they put a picker here. And you can't believe it, the ethanol that was mixed with the water came and was now dropping. And then we had our ethanol back. Because it has vaporized when water is still waiting to boil. What am I saying? I'm trying to talk about the word distill. When you see some alcohol, what do you call where they do some alcohol? It's not burial. Distillery. Because they mix things and then they separate them to the finest proportion. Another thing, you see some alcohol, when you pour some alcohol on the ground and you strike a match over them, it will catch fire. That thing has been distilled to a very high quality. Don't go and drink it. It will just destroy you as you are drinking. It will destroy you. To destroy your, what do you call, your gastrointestinal tract. That's like when you see those who drink ogogoro, how do they look like? They wither while standing. They are drinking liquid fire. And no man can drink fire and not be burned. But Satan will deceive man. What God gave for a good use, man will turn it to what will kill him eventually. Now, the commandment of God needs to be distilled. You can't receive it wholesome like that. It's like you load a high dosage of... Now, there's this biscuit that is served, given to soldiers. You wonder, soldiers will go to war. They go inside the bushes. And they will be there. They just landed in that country. And they are moving from one end to the other, fighting the enemy. What are they eating? You see that they are heavy bag they carry. It's not only bullet that is there. There's what we call high energy biscuit. Just one piece of that high energy biscuit can sustain them for 2 days. You know, Kevin biscuit. If you eat one and you say that's your food for today, in fact, just go and die. it's better. But you see, the same form of biscuit has been packed with lots of energy. Because it's not about the size of the food. It's about the calorie in the food. So for those of you, they have taught us, we should eat minimally. If it's not full like this, you're not okay. Add more. This is commensurate with my size. Now let me eat. No, it's just the content, the calorie content that is important. I have a friend, she doesn't eat breakfast. You know what she eats? That thing is just like a piece of chocolate. It's not actually chocolate, it's food. Because they simply looked at calorie that you should derive from breakfast and they packed it inside that small thing. So she just takes one, puts it in her mouth and then melts and says, I've eaten breakfast. And you're wondering, what is wrong with it? Said that. So when I saw what they wrote on that thing, high calorie, it's inside that small thing. So the commandment of God is packed with high spiritual energy. They need to break it down for you. That is why we must not despise any level of God's word. Either milk or meat or strong meat, they are all variations of God's word. It's just that they break it down, not to your level, but to the level expected of you at a particular point. Because if you say to your level, you will say, this is my level. And you will keep drinking milk all the time. Reverend K was saying in convention, that many of us, we take milk, we don't want to leave it. He said, but when you see a mother who has a child, 8 months sucking breast, 9 months, 1 year, 1.5 years, just taking breast and it's not working, 2 years, he said, the woman will shout, yay, egba mi o. He said, but how many times have you shouted, yay, I'm not making progress. It's just this level I stay. Don't say that is your level. No, you should have grown beyond. So he said, for when you ought to be, another word for ought, should, when you should be. So there's a time lag put on it. So you don't have forever to grow. There is a level that you come into and they expect you to move and be eating something higher. You take another higher packed energy, biscuit of eternal life. Not the one you used to eat before. Just like, you know, somebody was telling me, he said, for those who raise babies, you have pick 1, 2, 3. Do you know that? A pick formula milk for a child of 1. When the child is 2, you move to pick 2. Then 3 years, you move, and that thing sold so well. You know what they now did? They now have pick 4, 5, 6. I said, it will never sell. It can never sell like pick 1, 2, 3. Because marketing shows that, oh, this brand was successful. Now, they need to extend that. Actually, that milk, anybody can drink it. But they just put 1, 2, 3. Just to make you buy it. Why not do pick 1, 2, 3? That a child of 1, 2, or 3 can take and will be okay because they are more or less in the same age bracket. Now, when they saw that thing sold well, they now develop pick 4, 5, 6. Now imagine a 6-year-old boy say drinking milk and say, mommy, and sucking. How will you look at that? Someone that should be eating okra and amala. That should be getting some strength. You're saying, say, pick 4, 5, 6. I said, they have come with their marketing strategies. They just want to push the product out more. Is that okay? Now, meaning that God gives you commandment, but it must be broken down into doctrine. That's why I said in Deuteronomy 32, go to that place. He said, my speech. So you see, that speech is not just what I have said now. No! Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will do what? What will I do? I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Verse 2. My doctrine, meaning my speech, what I will say, will drop as the rain. My speech will do what? Distill as the dew, as the small rain. Pastor Lydia taught this. As the tender half, and as the showers upon grass. They are all forms of water. The world is water. But that water, you see, the water you drink, do you know it can kill? That water inside that small glass. Go and watch the video of tsunami. You will now know that this water can kill. When a water, a body of water that is very weak and flimsy, they said the bond in water is very weak, so that's why it can't hold together like solid. Now, that same water that we so despise will now begin to gather together and be rising in height. And now rise to like 25-story building. In a height. Not just in height, in massiveness. And now begins to move. Not like I am walking or strolling. It will begin to move at 220 kilometers per hour. What your vehicle cannot do. And it's moving like that. Tell me what can stand in its wake. Nothing. And that's why we don't pray for tsunami. Recently, Hurricane Dorian hit the side of U.S. It was moving from the Pacific, and they were tracking the storm, hurricane. And it was coming towards the U.S. And people were running away. People were evacuating. And it was going to pass through Trinidad and Tobago. Trinidad and Tobago is like a small piece in the massive, like a dot, compared to the whole massive land of U.S. And when that thing passed through Trinidad and Tobago on its way to the United States, as we speak, over 42 people have died. A whole airport is no longer functional. The hurricane took the airport and tore it to pieces as if with a hand. Now that is water at a particular speed. But you know, you can open your shower and be having your bath under it. That's also water at another speed. You know, sometimes you use the WC and then you press it in. You have to press again. You wait for the water to fill up. You press again. Now, there is a small pipe. They now do. When you go to some hotels, you see, they put it by the side of the toilet. If you mistakenly point that into yourself, it's like it has a trigger. If you mistakenly face it to yourself and you press it, you will fall down. The power and the pressure in that small thing. So I don't know what it is you want to flush through that is clogged. Just put it there like a trigger. Press the trigger. You will feel the movement in your hand. The way the water will flush through whatever pipe, whatever is blocking. Now that's water at another pressure. So the word of God is in various grades. But it has to be published. He said, because I will publish the name of that thing must be published. And everybody must read it. But they will publish it in doctrines. They will publish it in a way you can take it. And then when you have taken it to a level, now you have taken this. Now let's move on. Just like you take a drug, you say give the child half a tablet, two tablets. Some people can take, if I know some people, they will tell them use paracetamol, two in the morning, two in the afternoon, two in the night. They will just take the whole six and swallow it at once. Now their system can take it, even though it's not good, but their system can process it. If you do that for a child of three, you give six tablets of paracetamol, you have killed the child. So the doctrine, the commandment must distill. Now let me tell you one of the meaning of distill. To exude in small drops. And I like what Pastor Dixon said, that you are growing. Don't let the devil tell you are not growing. You are not where you used to be. You know that. Even though you can't really measure your progress, or it may not be appreciable, but the truth is that you are no longer where you used to be. Because things are coming to you. Drops are coming to you. So, that speech is distilling, hallelujah, upon the tender herbs, upon the shrubs, upon the tree. So, what will wet a tree may be too much for a shrub. What will wet a shrub may be too much for a grass. Is that okay? Now, in the rainfall, heavy ones, some trees will be uprooted, while some will be standing. Now, why are they standing? They can withstand the pressure of the wind. Why? Stability or solidity has been built in them. And that is what the doctrine is meant to do. To build Christ in us. And as I said, when you actually take that doctrine, when you drink it, you will begin to show forth what you have drunk. So if you are showing forth something different from that doctrine, it means you have drunk another thing. Do you know that? You have taken in another thing. Amen. So commandment distills into doctrine. Can we see Hebrews? And I like that prophecy. It was talking about rain. Rain. Let's see Hebrews. And as I said, God sometimes confirms his word. Hebrews 6 verse 3. Let's read it. And this will do if God permits and all of that. For it is impossible for those who are, you know the scripture and all of that. Go to verse 7 now. Verse 7. For what? The earth, which drinketh in. It does what? Now, when you say you drink, you have drunk, actually. But it didn't say drink. It said drink in. So it's further, it's something that really goes in. That drinketh in the rain, that often come upon it. And does what? Bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed. What happens to that land? It receiveth blessing from God. Meaning, the blessing from God does not come upon everybody. It only comes upon those who take in that doctrine, and then they produce fruit. After that, then the blessing comes upon them. Jesus confirmed that in John chapter 15. Any tree that produces fruit, what will I do to it? I will purge it so that it can do what? It can produce more fruit. Hallelujah. So go back to that Hebrews 6, verse 7, verse 8 now. But that which beareth what? Thorns and briars is rejected. That means it's drinking it in rain, but it's not producing fruit meant for those who are dressing it. It's bringing forth something that is undesirable. What will happen to that? He said it is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be born. Let's read on. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Thus, go with us, speak. Go on. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that what? Every one of you should do what? Do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope. Unto the end, until Christ is fully formed, you diligently drink in the rain and diligently allow it to produce fruit. He said in the parable of the sower, the one who received the seed and bore fruit with patience. Now, the fruit of eternal life is not what you bear in 3 days. It will involve patience. Go to the next verse now. Verse 12, that you be not slothful, but be what? Followers of them. Who through what? Faith and patience. What did they inherit? The promise is eternal life. But it is by faith, the learning of faith and the culture of patience. So when you learn faith, it must translate into patience of the kingdom. John in Isle of Patmos said, I, John, your brother in the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and the patience of the kingdom. That's what we call the patience of the kingdom. It means it's not a dash. It's something you have to endure through. A lot of things will come at you in the process of wanting to lay hold of their life, but you must not give up. You must continue. When you continue, it's like you are swimming against the tide. Why? You have something that you want to inherit. Amen. So commandment distills and falls like rain. He said in Hosea 10:12, sow to yourself in mercy, you will reap in righteousness. The Lord come in and will rain righteousness upon us. So when you see raining, the same thing in Joel 2:23, raining, it will rain upon you moderately, the former rain and the latter rain. These are teachings. So we need to hear teachings. We need to hear teachings of righteousness. Teachings upon teaching. What is happening? We are receiving the commandment bit by bit. Amen. Then what do you do with doctrine? You learn it. You obey doctrine. You learn doctrine and you obey doctrine. You don't do anything. You don't puff up with doctrine. You don't show off with doctrine. You simply learn doctrine and then you obey it. That's the essence of doctrine. John 7, 15 to 18 said that. And Pastor, this is quoted the scripture last week Wednesday, Isaiah 29:24. they that murmur. What will happen to them? They will learn doctrine. Doctrine is to be learned. So look at what Jesus said. And the Jews marvel, saying, how knoweth this man letters? Have he never learned? How did he know letters? Jesus answered and said to them, my doctrine is not mine, but he is that sent me. If any man will do his will, what will happen? He shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Next verse. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. So if any man will do his will, he will know of this doctrine. You have to know the doctrine. How do you know it? You learn it. You learn it. And what we do by gathering to hear the teachings of Christ is a learning. Is that okay? It's a learning. And that learning must lead to obedience of what you have learned. Don't forget, Romans 16:26, the commandment of the everlasting God, meant for obedience unto all nations. Look at that. Made known to all nations. For what purpose? Obedience. So, the end of doctrine is for you to obey it. Hallelujah. Romans 6 verse 17. We'll soon close. Romans 6, 17, very quickly. But God be thanked that you are the servants of sin. But how? You have obeyed from the heart. That form of doctrine. That form. There's a particular form of doctrine. It has a shape. It has it's a structure of a particular doctrine that was delivered to you. Remember Jude, contend for the faith which was contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered. See this word again. Delivered unto you. So that you are from their heart obeyed. So it's possible to obey from the head. It's possible. So obedience will even be tested. Because obedience has to be from the heart. Not from the head. Because you can calculate to obey. You know that? The soul is so devious, so cunning that it can create a lot of things and even ensnare the owner of that soul. So sin, like who was teaching us that sin can instruct you to get more religious even in church. To do things that when we look at it ordinarily, it will be as though you are obeying the doctrine, but actually you are obeying from the head. For an end, for the purpose, you saw what can happen. And then you position yourself in the manner of obeying the doctrine, but it's not actually obedience from the heart. So Jesus said it clearly, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Amen. Chapter 16 of that Romans, very quickly, and verse 17. We'll soon go home. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and what? Offenses contrary to what? The doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Looks like the scripture Tony read to us on Sunday. He said, mark them. Mark them which cause division. Are they the only people you should mark? Quickly show me Proverbs. Is it Proverbs 23:23 now? Quickly. He said, mark the end of that man. It shall be peace. Quickly show me that scripture. Amen. Okay, while you are looking for it, the doctrine which you have learned, he said, mark them. So I just want to show to you that it's possible to mark divisionary elements in the church. It's also possible to mark people who are following the doctrine. Now, why am I saying this? He said, he that serveth Christ in these things is approved of God and received of men. There's a place men should commend you. You see, and like Pastor Alfred taught us about, be followers of us, be followers of me, be followers of the churches. There are some people that, now he said, obey them that labor over you. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. So meaning that those ones, by God's honor, they are rated higher. So there is nothing like we are all equal. Yet we are all equal. But I say that we are not equal. It depends on the sense in which you are saying it. Is that okay? So there are some that cause division and cause offenses contrary to the doctrine. So anything done contrary to the doctrine leads to offenses and leads to division. And nobody is free. Both the person who causes the offense and the person who receives the offense or who takes the offense. If the doctrine has been fully formed, number one, you will not cause offense. If the doctrine has been fully formed, you will not also take offense. So you know that the doctrine has a lot to do in us. Is that okay? Now, show me 1 Timothy 4, verse 6.
And then we begin to close. I put in remembrance, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, that thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. What shows that you are a good minister of Jesus Christ? By preaching? What shows a good minister? Someone who has been nourished up in what?
So that's what makes a minister. That's what makes a good minister. Not just a good minister. A good minister of Jesus is one who has been nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Whereunto thou hast attained. He's not talking to you. He's talking to Timothy. Timothy has attained that. I have not attained this. So what makes a good minister? Are you nourished up? I like the word, you know, to be nourished is to be nourished. But when you say nourished up, I mean total. You have never been exposed to any other nourishment. You know what Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do to Daniel and his brethren? He said that they might be nourished 3 years. And the word nourished here means they will be corrupted from within. Actually, to Nebuchadnezzar, it was a nourishment. But to these Zion boys, it was corruption. What makes nourishment depends on who serves it. So if God serves it, it is nourishment. If Babylon serves it is corruption. But Babylon, we call it. So the king said that they might be nourished 3 years. And that at the end of 3 years, they might stand before the king. You will now know that it's actually corruption. Why? When those boys who had sight, because they have been nourished, after another order, they said, no, give us water and beans, pulse and water. And the other boys, they were eating all the cherry, all the pizza, all the peri-peri, coleslaw, shawarma, mention it, and they are, you know, loading themselves. What happened after 3 years? The Bible says when they appeared before the king, Daniel and his men were 10 times better. So what made them 10 times better? So it's not that food. It's another food. So that another food is actually nourishment. Now, you have to be nourished in the doctrine of Jesus at whatever level you are. Look at that woman. If you are that woman, I mean, we'll be worshiping you literally right now in that Revelation 12. And I saw a woman clothed with the sun and the moon was under her feet. You know that? You know how glorious that woman was? And then she gave birth to a child. And that child was caught up to the throne. Our eyes have been on the man child. What about that woman? That woman is actually the church. But look at what happened. He said, and that woman was given the wings of eagle to fly to a place after she has given birth to that child. And that child was taken up. It's a company. Not everybody will be in that company. But that child was taken up. But the devil came after her. They now gave her wings of eagle to do what? To run. To fly. Into a place where she will be. Look at that. And the woman fled into the wilderness. Wilderness is the faith of Christ. Wilderness is where you learn Christ. So this woman, with all that glory, needs to learn Christ. The church needs to learn Christ. Where she had a place prepared. Who prepared that place? Prepared of God. Thou preparest a table before me. That they should feed her. You need to be fed. So he said, if you are a minister, a good minister of Jesus, nourish up in the words of truth. Hallelujah. Show me verse 13 of this particular chapter. Verse 13. Quickly. Till I come. Do what? Give attendance to do what? To reading. Exhortation and to doctrine. Every exhortation must be after the doctrine. Every reading. He said, read scripture. Read. It is good. Read scripture. But read scripture with the mind of receiving doctrine. Show me verse 16. Now, these things are cumulative. Verse 16. Take heed unto thyself. And unto what? The doctrine. Continue. So you can take it to yourself and you may not take it to the doctrine. Actually, the best way to take it to yourself is to take it to the doctrine. When you take it to the doctrine, you are taking it to yourself. Is that okay? I remember many years ago, we used to be in CAC Church. It's a Yoruba speaking church. And we have this Baba, a great prophet of God. He's gone to be with the Lord now. So he preached from this scripture. That was the first time I knew about this scripture. In the Yoruba version, he says, Ma toju ara are. You know, that Baba wanted to preach that day about the need for us not to neglect our body, to eat well, to do some things well to your body such that you will not just die midway, to take good care. This was the scripture he used. And then the first, he kept saying it, Ma toju ara are. Tell your neighbor to say that. You know, we kept, Ma toju. The Bible says it to take care of yourself. Now, it was not wrong. Don't say it was wrong. Because it's also bringing out a truth from it. But that's not all there is to that scripture. He said, take it to thyself. It's not to take it to your body alone. How do you take it to yourself? Take it to the doctrine. Take it to the doctrine. Keep the doctrine. The doctrine will keep you. It's very simple. Keep the doctrine. The doctrine will keep you. Continue in them. For in doing this. So it's not something you do once and stop. When you continually do this, after a while, you will save yourself. And then you will save them that hear you. Amen. Hallelujah. Say finally here that doctrine has to distill into a lifestyle. What lifestyle? We can have various lifestyles. That will be the lifestyle of life. John 8:12 says, whosoever followeth me, said, I am the light of the world. Whosoever followeth me will not walk in darkness, but we have the light. It didn't stop there. The light of life. That is the light of death. It's also a light. It's a light. You see that thing they ate? Their eyes were open. Opening of eyes is as a result of light. The same thing that Paul prayed, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. Enlightened. Lighting from within. Lighting from within by God. Was the same thing the devil did to them. The devil also lightened them from within by his own law. So he said, he shall have the light of life. So there is a light of life. Light of eternal life. That light there means culture. It means lifestyle. A civilization that is powered by life. Have you seen a poster before? They are doing a program. They said powered by Coca-Cola. Mr. Biggs. These are the people that power that program. That make the program to be what it is. So what is making you to be who you are should be life. That culture you exhibit. That manner. Hallelujah. Let's read this scripture. I like it a lot. 2 Timothy 3:9. And then we'll begin to pray. But it shall proceed no further. He was talking about people who teach some other things. For their folly shall be made manifest unto all men. As theirs also was. Then verse 10. He said, but. What is but? Contrast. But you, Timothy, you have fully known what? My doctrine. What immediately follows that? Manner of life. A doctrine produces a manner of life. So if it is the doctrine of Christ we are following, it must produce the manner of life of Christ. Hallelujah. Remember when Saul was going to be a king? They wrote in the book, and they gave him the matters of the kingdom. And Samuel came finally when he came to anoint him. He also spoke to him about the manner of the kingdom. The kingdom has its matters and has its life. The matters of the kingdom is the doctrine. The manner of the kingdom is the lifestyle. Meaning that as we learn Christ, if so be that you have learned Christ. Somewhere he said, but you have not so learned Christ. Meaning that if a man has learned Christ, there is a way the man walks. There is a way the man behaves. There is a way the man takes thought. Doctrine should not end in hearing. It should produce a manner of life. That's the long and short of what I wanted to say since. That's just it. If I came and I said that statement and I go sit down, you will say, what has he said now? So all of that is to say, the essence of the doctrine is to produce a manner of life. And doctrine is a form of the commandment. The commandments broken down that we can receive it. And we have to receive it from one stage to the other. And as you receive it in that stage, a manner of life is expected. When you receive meek, a manner of life is expected. That is why we must not quickly condemn people at the same time. You don't know the level where they are. We talk about the seventh feast in Israel. A lot of people are still in the feast of Passover. Do you know that? And we are all in the church of Jesus. While some people are looking towards tabernacles, it's the same feast. And everyone must go through it. But even the church, assemblies are at various points in that feast. Hallelujah. So we must not condemn them. But the point is they must not stay there forever. Hallelujah. Can we rise on our feet this evening and begin to bless the name of the Lord? Let's appreciate our Father and thank Him. Jesus will bless your name. Lord, I live by your word. Lord, I live by every word of your mouth. I'm like a tree by the riverside. I'm bearing fruits in all I do. My leaves are green and prospering. Oh Lord, I live by your word. Lord, I live by your word. Lord, I live by your word.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that have come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teachings with Reverend Busuyi or Labadee by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 at DME College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.